Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Neil and Christian Baker Psychic Hour. I am trying to post our show on our pages here for my phone, and I do have the chat room open. We were a little late getting on, but we had some struggles with Blog Talk Radio actually letting us get on via the Direct Connect feature, but we are here to take your calls. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Also, you may join us on our social media channels, which can be found via our Blog Talk Radio homepage, Neil and Christian Baker Psychic. There you'll find a link to at least one of them, whereby you'll be able to find our other pages. Also, if we're on X, you may follow us there. And, you know, over the weekend, just briefly, I encountered a post. We're in a lot of groups for lost and found animals, injured animals, animals that are in the shelter, so on and so forth. And I came across a story. It was on Friday. I guess this animal was injured, cat was injured. And so I posted on our page. Neil and I both donated to this animal surgery. Luckily, this cat was able to get surgery, but I mean, the injuries were pretty catastrophic. And luckily, the cat made it through the surgery. But this was kind of like my mission over the weekend to help this individual with her cat. And I was calling different organizations and veterinary hospitals to see if I could get her grants and or guide her on how to apply. You know, that's something that is a good karma type of thing. You know, you want to help your fellow man, your fellow animal, well, not fellow animal, but I guess we're animals. So yes, your fellow animal. And if any of you are inclined to donate, the link to that GoFundMe is on our Facebook page. So that's that. Anything you want to say, Neil, about this? I post.
No, I just think it's always important to donate to animal causes, you know, whether it's domestic animals or
wildlife.
It's just so important at this point. They're struggling. It's hard enough as it is. And if they don't have our help, you know, they're basically pretty much doomed. The consequences of right now, what's going on in the world with encroachment and climate changes and poisonings in the atmosphere and things like that, well, they really could use our help. So if you're up to it and you can afford it, even $5,
$10, $3,
whatever it may be, give to an animal organization of your choice. There's so many. There's not only domestic animals, dogs and cats, but there's so many wildlife organizations, and they specify some wildlife organizations give specifically to a certain animal, and then others cover a broad range.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but like Wildlife SOS, for example, has recently rescued another elephant who was hit by a train with her mother. The mother perished. She lived, but she's unable to bear weight on her feet. So they're lifting her up, you know, hoisting her up by unnatural means. So because when an elephant is recumbent for a long period of time, like I guess any anybody, a human being in bed gets bed sores, circulation problems, things like that. If you're stuck in bed or laying down like this elephant is, and so the elephant is responding really well to like laser treatments and water therapy and all these different things, but funds are needed to keep this elephant alive and the care going. So you can check out Wildlife SOS. They operate in India, so they're Asian elephants that they help. You know, there's Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. I believe they deal with African elephants, but Wildlife SOS also has like cheetahs, jaguars, leopards, sloth bears, all kinds of animals, birds.
Yeah,
and they're an
A-rated
organization. I mean, really fantastic.
Animals in captivity, like in zoos. I mean, that would be like you only having your home in your backyard, and that's what.
Oh yeah, it's like being in prison. You could liken it to being in a prison cell.
You know, they adapt, but it's not natural. And some are born in that captivity, so they have, but they have instincts, and they have a biological system. Where some of them, I mean, elephants are meant to roam 50 miles a day or more. Gorillas are nomadic. They move from place to place. They just don't make a nest and stay there in one spot. So my animals are prone to migrate, not to mention lions and tigers, which cheetahs, which need a broad range of territory, not, you know, a nice little area with a couple of
yeah, like a patch of grass. I mean, it's terrible what they do to animals, wild animals, and putting them in captivity, blah, blah, blah.
So whatever you can do to help the animals, we should appreciate it.
We do.
Even above and beyond giving us donations. Give one to
an animal. I mean, you can give us donations. We accept them happily. However, you know, there are things that are important, you know, like, for example, you know, we're talking about donating on a broader scale, you know, to organizations that help lots of cats. For some reason, this cat just captured my heart, and the situation, because of the person that owns the cat, I mean, the fact that she's on disability, low income, and she's so attached to this cat, and the cat would essentially went to the hospital, then they released the cat. The hospital wouldn't operate because she didn't have the funds. And the fact that they released her in the condition they released her in is really horrific. I mean, you would think that animal hospitals would, in certain cases, do pro bono. Is pro bono applicable to veterinary work?
I don't think so.
But I mean, is that word applicable? Well, am I using it properly?
I
think veterinarians do sometimes, you know, I've read articles where clinics will say, okay, we'll pick a case every month where we will do free work for this person. Anyway, the problem that happened with this cat is then she went to another hospital, and this woman got charged so much money, and luckily she had donors donating large sums of money. I don't know, she got really lucky, but they didn't even diagnose the cat properly at the first place. So the injuries were more extensive, as it turns out, than they had originally thought. And the fact that they sent this cat home is just unconscionable to me. So that's why, you know, obviously helping on a broader level sometimes is good, but often, you know, I'll get attached to one animal and want to donate to
that
animal.
So many abandoned dogs.
It's like you scroll through our feed.
You go on it's called Facebook. You go on there and you scroll down and you see all these animals.
Well, we do because we subscribe to the, not everybody. So most people probably don't belong to rescue groups or cat groups or animals. You select who you follow.
Oh.
So it's not like everybody is going to see that. It's per your selection. So many people won't. If you don't care about animals, you're not going to follow animal groups.
You know, I was scrolling down and saw, you know, 100 cats that needed help and dogs, and then suddenly there was something about the president.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee, so many. Well, now I know, understand why.
Right.
But it is heartbreaking to see all those animals in need. and suffering and abandoned, and they have no homes, and they're sitting in a cage, and they're just petrified. They don't understand, especially ones that were abandoned by families who just no longer want to take care of them. Throw them out.
Recently, just last week, I saw a dog that was abandoned in a CVS in Redondo Beach, just sitting there with this plastic bowl of food.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you saw it too. So, I mean, you know, and he went to a shelter. Who knows what happened to him? I mean, darling little dog.
Horrible. And so...
And this was a woman and her son. So, I mean, like, what kind of example is this mother setting for her child? This is why
And there are people who just throw the dog out of the car and drag away, and the dog's running after the car. So it gets really tragic. And those people who do that, I have no sympathy for anything that happens in their lives. I could care less. They should get karma instantly. But so here we are in our show. Our 1,204 shows together.
Well, you know, you're a numbers guy.
1,204 shows. That's a lot of shows. A lot of shows. I don't know if Ben Sullivan did that many shows. But here we are. And once again, we're available for your calls.
And we're going to be connecting to Ed Sullivan on today's show. Surprise?
Yeah. Well, I love that interpretation. I mean, there were people, many impersonators did Ed Sullivan. David a great Ed Sullivan. And the guy who impersonated Ed Sullivan on Pulp Fiction movie was pretty good. Ed Sullivan. Well, you know, Ed Sullivan was a controversial character. He had views that weren't always obvious in his general life and profile. But nonetheless, he ushered in a lot of unique acts like the Beatles and things like that, the Rolling Stones, to American broad television audience. And he always seemed to be of a generally humanitarian nature. Of course, you read about these people, their biographies, and you realize there's all different kinds of stories going on. He also appeared in a movie called Bye Bye Birdie, where he was pretty funny. And of course, that one was Conrad Birdie was going to be on the Ed Sullivan show, and he was going to kiss some girl before he went into the military. And that girl happened to have been Anne Margaret. And that's a fun movie too to watch. But here we are on the air, and we are here to take your calls. And you can call into the show and ask any question you want, and we'll try to answer it for you. Of course, you know, doing a reading on the radio is a little bit different than doing a reading just in person or private. A radio reading is different than a personal reading. It's still a personal reading, but it's sort of like saying, well, I want to try a sample of that. It's like a free sample. It's somewhat like
I mean.
But the time and it takes to go into great depth, so once in a while we do.
Well, we did a couple shows ago, I mean, talking to Deep. That was a kind of an in-depth radio reading, obviously not a personal reading. You know, the different thing, though, about the radio readings also is that, I mean, if you talk to someone on a consistent basis, in personal reading context, versus encountering someone totally fresh. I mean, you can do this obviously in a personal reading context too, but the radio, I mean, you're not seeing the person. There's a lot of unknowns. So picking up on a person's vibe, you know, like an in-person vibe, being able to look at the chakras, things like that, you can't do that so much on the radio.
I don't really remember, but there's a lot of psychics who don't last long. they do blog talk for a while, and they get frustrated because what, they don't get personal readings, or it's just it's a hassle. You got to pay money to go be on the air, and it's a commitment. We've been doing it now for what, 10 years? Oh,
11 years, Neil.
11 years. So
11 and a half years. It would be 12 years in August.
Yeah, but we don't gauge our presence on Blog Talk according to how many calls we get. Or we don't get a call, we don't get a reading. We're here consistently doing the work that we feel is very important for people. Of course, you know, we advocate animals, but on the same time, we don't do readings for animals on the air. We do readings for people. So we cover all areas of existence.
We talk to people's animals on the air before.
Yeah, but we don't have a dog or cat ever called in.
I don't think a dog or cat usually ever
has
ever called in. I called us for a reading.
Yeah, it's funny. I've done readings directly with animals. In my earlier days, went to houses and did specific readings on animals, and they seem to enjoy it. There is a certain psychic vibe, I think, that some animals perceive in a person. You know, it's a known fact that a crow, if you do harm to a crow or you're mean to a crow, that crow will tell the other crows in its flock about you. And they have a crow communication. Well, they'll label you a good person or a mean person. And I've noticed in our own personal space, because we feed birds constantly, the birds will come out and talk to us. They all come up. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of birds, specifically sparrows, but there's crows and morning birds.
Sometimes we'll get a stray. What was that? There was a green bird that I think identified the bird, but I don't remember what it was called. This green bird was in our backyard for a while.
Yeah, we do get strays. I mean, ladybird came once for a while. But we do get.
And it's weird here. Jays are not as common as they are in Northern California. So like seeing a blue jay in this area is less common.
Even the rats know us, the tree rats.
But blue jays are considered a nuisance. I mean, they'll eat cat food. They eat cat food.
Yeah, if you leave it out.
Yeah, they'll eat anything.
But they don't raid your home at night and come in and steal.
No. Those are raccoons usually, or rats.
But it's funny because birds have a flight distance. And some birds you'll see the old ladies feeding them in the park or the pigeons, and they come right up to their feet or land on their shoulders. So that's pretty extraordinary.
You know, why don't we have that experience?
Well, we're not really stationed that way. We're moving around and we don't really, it's not stationed that way. But what the birds do with us to respect us is they'll come out and greet us and talk to us and look at us and kind of fly around and play a little bit in midair and land very close. But I think I mean, the way I perceive their chatter when we're out there is, there they are, those are the two, that's them. And we've given them names. I don't know if they recognize their names.
Well,
they've got names, and, the same thing it is with clients or radio listeners or whatever it may be. If you're nice and you give them something that they can, it's nutritious, it's informative, it's helpful. And that's how you get your flock. That's how you gather your audience. I think that maintaining when I was. When I was really young, this guy who had a very, very famous salad dressing business, he was world famous, friend of the family. And when I was first starting off, I was trying to think of a name, publicly a name, and for the business. And he said to me, call it tell a friend. I thought that was the worst. Tell a friend?
It sounds like something. Well, that was Alpha Beta's slogan.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was. To Alpha Beta, tell a friend.
Well, it, number one, it's not even specific, but it's meaningless.
Don't you remember? Don't you remember that? Alpha Beta, tell a friend. It was a jingle. I don't know why I remember it.
I don't remember it, that one.
But
for a psychic to have to name their business tell a friend.
Yeah, that's just stupid. A salad dressing, tell a friend.
Well, he had a very famous I'm not going to mention the name, but it was world famous. It was bought out, but still retains the name. And it's on every show.
Yeah, Olive Oil's voiceover ended up saying, go shopping with Popeye at Alpha Beta and tell a friend at the end of the Alpha Beta commercial in the 80s.
Oh, well, that was a slogan.
Different.
But he said to actually name the business Telefriend.
It sounds like telethon or something. I mean,
Telefriend is,
dumb.
I'll tell you what.
He's
ignorant. He didn't know what.
Neither did the name, though, that, I mean, the name that the salad dressing was didn't tell you anything about the salad dressing either. I mean, and if you're talking about salad dressing names, Wishbone, for example, I mean, I'm talking about major commercial brands, which, you know, we don't buy that really. But anyway, Wishbone, what does that tell you? Wishbone?
Tells you
nothing about a salad dressing.
Well, yeah, but it's so synced with the product that it just happens to work out.
Well, it works.
Tell a friend. I mean, and that's mass marketing because it's usually Wishbone salad dressing. But tell a friend psychic. I mean, he didn't say. He just said tell a friend.
Oh, he wanted. It was your psychic business that he.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so confused. I thought you meant the salad dressing.
He was. He was the owner, creator of his own salad
dressing. And he named his own salad dressing.
He named his own salad dressing.
All right.
It was very famous salad.
I know the story, but for some reason I don't remember.
He was very famous. He was a friend of the family, and I gave him a reading. I can't remember. Maybe I gave him a reading. And he said, well, I've got a name. You shouldn't call it what you got. Call it. I'm not going to say what I called it because I think the name was unique and I don't want to give it away over the air if I could ever use it again. But I had a name. And he goes, no, don't use that name. He goes, rename your business of, call it Telefriend. And I just thought that was just stupid. Telefriend isn't saying anything about maybe contact a psychic would be better than tell a friend.
Well, neither are good.
No, they both stink. But, you know, when we get into the idea of names, then you get into the idea of what psychics will shout out names. And that, to me, I always laugh. Oh, does Susan mean anything to you? Do you know a Bob?
You know, this is interesting. You're going here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes names come through as a legitimate vibration. It's not just a guessing game, necessarily.
I know, but
and you do it as much as anyone else.
I know. I still think it's silly.
Okay.
I mean, if you're contacting somebody from the other side and they go, can you contact somebody for me? And I go, you know, I'm hearing Kevin. Oh, that's my father. Yeah, and his pipe. Yeah, he smoked a pipe. We buried him with his pipe. See, now that's good, but when you're just doing a reading, do you know a Bob? Well, I worked with a Bob once. I mean, you know, it's all okay, but to tell you the truth, inside it's kind of laughable. And I would agree with anyone who would sort of criticize it. It's legitimate. We know where we're going with it, but I think on a broader interpretation, it's a little bit. It's kind of silly, but nonetheless, we still do it.
So, yeah, and I'm going to respond to it after we take our caller because I have something to say about it. Okay, 916, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Hi, I was just wondering, I don't know how to do this. Can you give me a general reading? I think I just hopped on right now.
Okay, you're, but we know you, I think. So you've called the show before?
I have.
What's his name?
What's your name again?
Ray.
Ray. And your birth date?
12/22. Do you need the year?
Yes.
87.
Okay. 17, 15. And you're in the political arena. Are you still doing that?
I am, but not as much.
Not as much. And he used to have a Block Talk radio show for the Raiders. He's 32-5,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, doing politics, doing radio shows, podcasts. I mean, that's right in your master number theme. But did you have a specific question today?
Just general. I want to see what you pick up, if that's okay. If you need me to get specific, I can, but general.
I mean, are you curious? I'm wondering if you're wanting to talk about relationship today at all. Is that a concern of yours?
Yeah, I am more curious on the relationship aspect. You know,
I think
I've done a lot of healing myself. And I think I'm ready. I'm not desperate by any means, but I guess I'm more so kind of curious. I'm healthy. I get out a lot, and I'm just really curious. And if nothing's there, nothing's there. That's okay, too. I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, Ray, you're not going to live your life without a relationship. I mean, you're going to have a relationship. You're born in 1987, so you're 37 years old. You're actually on your first multiple of – well, wait, you're going to be 37, right? In December?
I'm going to be 37 in December, correct.
Right. So you're a 32-5, right? So your life goes in cycles of five from birth to death. But 32 is not divisible by five. So from the age of 32, then you start going through cycles of age of five from the age of 32. At 37, you have a change. So right now you're in the window of that change. You're in the window of the change right now, 9 months away, right? Is it 9 months away?
Yeah.
So
less
than 9 months. It's experiencing a relationship could be something that happens very soon for you. Do you know a Bob by any chance? Just kidding. Joke. I'm making a joke. If you weren't listening to the previous part of our podcast, it will make sense
to
you.
We're making fun of throwing out names. But do you want to explain about the relationship energy?
Well, yes. Your relationship energy is challenging because you've got in your karmic side of your birthday, your month and day, ones and twos. Twos are relationships. Twos are the second chakra. So there may have been. There may have been, I don't know, is there a divorce? Not for you, but like in your parents, were your parents divorced or any turmoil growing up? Alcoholism?
Well, my parents were never married to begin with, and I find that kind of unfortunate. I'm kind of glad they were never married, but I have my uncle and my aunt who I'm very close with, are in the middle of a divorce in the last 9 months.
Oh, I see.
I'm just very close with them.
That's okay, but your parents were never married, so that qualifies for relationship problem in your youth. So, I mean, what did you have a close relationship with your father or a difficult, distant relationship with your father?
I had a very close relationship with my father, but it was my mother who suffers from mental health issues that I always butted heads with since I was a teen up until now that I have difficulty with. And I'll be honest with you, I actually just told my friend the other day that I love my mom, but I crave a woman that is not her, that doesn't have her tendencies.
Right,
somebody who's
right.
ambitious, who's outgoing, down to earth, understanding. Like, that's what I seek.
Okay. So here's the...
So it's the mother, not the father. So close to the father, but mother mental health problems. And that's, you know, obviously indicated in your...
So here's your rundown, Ray. If you noticed in your month and day, you have four numbers that add up to seven. And you have a seven in your year. Now, all that broken up seven has a lot of twos in it, which on the karmic side would result in negative energies about difficulties in relationship, at least until the age of 32. You're about to go through another change in a year or so. But at least until that age, there's this broken up energy. Now, to your advantage, they all get grouped together and reform as a solid seven in your year, where you are right now, next to an eight. And now, what this indicates is that all of your commotion in relationships, including women, is all going to come together and be spiritually satisfying. So your thought pattern about being involved with a woman that is the antithesis of your mother is probably part of your destiny. So you're destined to meet this woman. And when you do, you're going to be empowered. You're going to probably feel better about yourself. It's going to add another dimension so that when you walk around, you're not thinking, I'm just a single guy. You're walking around thinking, God, I've got a partner. I've got a partner. My whole life has changed. And she respects me and loves me. That's what's in store for you. Probably you won't even get to the doorknob until May. But once you hit May, you might start looking for this woman. Now, I think fate itself would be the magnetic energy. In other words, you're going to meet her anyways. But if you're asking today, am I going to be in a relationship with a woman that is different than my mother, and I think I'm ready for it, you're right in tune with your birthday code. And your birthday code says you're going to be meeting this.
You know what's interesting about his birthday code too? So your higher number, what we call your higher number on your karmic side, is a seven. But it's the same in the 1987, but it's composed of a 16-7, which is the same as the broken up energy, the 2-2-2 and then one. So you know what I'm saying? It's 1-6, like just 1-2-2-2, and then 1987 is 1-6. You've got a seven on that's a solid transcendent number.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it means anything to you, but I'm going to say something to you that might, in the symbolism of energy, be meaning. Now we're talking about symbolism. We're not talking literally about. And the symbolism is a female actress named Sally Field. You know who Sally Field was?
She's still alive.
Do you know who Sally Field is?
Hey, I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you know who Sally Field is?
Why do I know that name? That name sounds familiar.
Well, Sally Field was the Flying Nun. Sally Field was in several movies.
Wasn't she in a TV series?
Sally Field, it might have been.
I got to get my phone going. And wait,
anyways.
860, hang in there, we're going to get to
you. Yeah, we're getting to you in about 3 minutes.
You
got to look up Sally Field. Now, Sally
okay.
Field, forget it, she's in her 80s. I'm not talking about her, but there's something about her that came up in regard to this woman you're going to meet. You know, her name is Sally. I don't know. You mentioned Sally Field. I don't know what it is. Maybe you can look at some of the movies Sally Field was in. She was also in the movie called Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay, so she was in Forrest Gump, Mrs. Doubtfire, Steel Magnolias, The Flying Nun, Gidget. That was the TV show she was on.
She was, you know, major star.
Lincoln.
Academy Awards and all that. So I don't know. You might want to look her up and see if anything rings a bell. But regardless of all this nonsense, what we're saying is you're going to be meeting a girl, and it could be that you're around May you may be meeting this person.
Okay.
And May happens to be five, which is your master number.
I mean, is there anything, we've got to move on to the next caller, but is there anything specific pertaining to this relationship, like a person you're wondering about?
No, I mean, I just see girls that are like, oh man, you're cute. I can see myself with you. But I'm not dating anybody specific, but kind of like how I think Neil had said earlier, you know, I don't see myself as a single guy. I see a guy that, as myself, as like, I'm fortunate to be healthy. I'm confident. And it's like, hey, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm hoping that it comes because I'm in a happy place right now. And I think I have my feet under me now. And that's why I'm just really curious. It would just be nice to have a companion for once. That's all.
Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Well, okay. Hey, thank you guys so much for the reading. I really do appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's bring on 860, who I believe called last show and did not get on the air. Hi.
Hi, my name is Lisa from Connecticut.
Oh.
How are you?
Hi, Lisa.
Thank you. Hi.
Again, I believe she's a 33-6, but let me see if my memory served me correctly. Go ahead with your birth date.
January 26, 1959.
Okay. No. 6, 7, 8, 9, 19.
5, 5, 9, 59.
34, 34, yeah, I got it. She's a 34-7.
Yeah.
Did we add that up wrong before? 6, 7, 8, 9, 19, 20. No, she's a 33-6.
6, 7, 8, 9, 19, 25.
She's
a 34-7.
Okay. 19 plus 5 is 24 plus 9 is 33, right?
And she's a 34-7. Let's do the reading.
What's the birth date you have?
1-26-69?
59.
Oh, my mistake.
His mistake.
I thought you said 69.
Right.
Okay.
So as I said, you're a 33-6. I did remember. I did remember
you're
your master number. And your number. Well, I wouldn't say that, but. Thank you. Okay, Lisa, what's your call? What's your question today?
I seem to have something in my pancreas growing that's potentially extremely bad, and I'm about to go through tests, and I'm wondering, I really thought things were going to get better for me, and it just gets worse. I'm wondering how this is going to work out. Maybe, if you can, I don't know. I'm just really scared right now.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that. Well, I know, and you have other health problems like rheumatological disorders, right?
You are just so amazing. And I saw this picture of you up here. You're just so gorgeous too, Neil. You're a lucky boy.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Is funny. Well, someone told Neil that I was lucky in the supermarket today when he went out on the
run. So you're even today.
We're even today, right? You have a mass on your pancreas? How is this?
Well, I've had growths on my pancreas for about 6 years that we've known about, but this new one is really scary, and it could make me lose my pancreas, lose half my pancreas, or my life.
But you've been okay, this is the thing, though. How often are you monitoring? Since you knew about lesions on your pancreas, previously, you've got an eye on the pancreas, right?
Yes. They do a scan yearly, but I was in horrible pain, so they did an extra one. And in September, it wasn't there, and now it's there.
So September, it wasn't there, and now it's there. So, I mean, what I would say is the good thing, Lisa, is that you know, with the pancreas and cancer of the pancreas, usually it's caught very late. And that's why
my dad,
go ahead.
My dad died.
So they're monitoring your pancreas, and it wasn't there in September, and it's there now.
Yes.
Well, we're not doctors. We're not doctors, so we can't give medical advice. I mean, you know, we can give impression.
Impression's great.
It's tough. I mean, What
you've got,
you have to be delicate about
what
this.
You've got here, you have an 11 actually in your birth date. When you add the 6 in your day to the 5 in your year, you get 11. So that's your second chakra. And that's getting pretty damn close to the area of the pancreas. So your journey is probably a karmic situation. There is some genetic quality going on with your father, but I'm perceiving that this is a karmic situation. To your advantage, you have a 9 at the end of your year, which is stamina
and endurance.
Just endurance going on and on and on. And your master number is 6, which appears in your day next to that 2. So that 2 is repeated because it's next to your master number 6, as in your day, next to a 2. And then it goes backwards to a 1. So I think you're dealing with energy from a karma. That's what I think, number 1. The other thing is, I know the question may seem obvious and maybe ridiculous, but have you ever had a bad cut from a tin can? You know, like when you open them or the lid is like razor sharp and you cut your hand. Do you recall any cuts of your hand from a can?
Yes.
Think you answer that?
They give
yes.
A little bit more detail about
yes,
what happened?
I pushed the garbage down in the can and there was a can lid and it cut my finger.
And when was that?
Maybe 15 years ago.
And how bad was your cut? I mean, was it a bad, really bad cut?
Well, it was my pinky that got cut, and it cut the nerve, so I had to have it put back together.
Oh that's amazing.
Yeah.
Then. Okay, so that's what I'm seeing. Now, are you dead right now?
No.
good answer.
What I think is they'll probably, my theory is that cut that I picked up on, that you validated, that needed surgical procedures is going to now it morph now into this pancreas thing, which they'll cut it out and you'll be okay. That's my theory.
I like that theory.
That yeah, and it's based on a validation. So I mean, a validation that you could fully connect with.
Exactly.
So you healed from the pinky. They were able to put it back together and the pancreas. I mean, and that's my feeling too. I mean, when we base it on logic and not psychic information, you know, they're watching your pancreas. So whatever is going on there has not been there that long, which is a good sign, So logic, psychic, put it all together. And that's our answer to you, Lisa. But you should definitely let us know what happens. When are they going to check this out for you? We have another caller.
I'm speaking with the surgeon tomorrow.
So you're speaking with the surgeon, then they with the office will schedule you for surgery. So let us know when the surgery is.
Yeah, call us back, Lisa, and keep in touch with us throughout this.
Yeah,
we'll,
it's
we'll
important.
We'll offer you help.
Okay.
Okay.
So I will do okay after the surgery without part of my pancreas or the whole thing?
Well, we don't
think?
Know what's going to come
okay.
out yet. We don't know yet
okay.
if it's going to be a whole pancreas or half a pancreas or they're going to be able to excise whatever's on it. But call us when the surgery is scheduled and you talk to the surgeon, you have more information. And we
okay.
can, you know, work with the date that you're doing the surgery and all that. So let
yeah,
us know.
Yeah, we've discovered a psychic connection. We haven't made any conclusions yet, but our psychic connection establishes a good sign of because we said you survived this. That's what our thought was. So the psychic connection via the can lid indicates that you're going to be okay because we're not coming up with anything fatalistic here.
Well, not only that, but the reattachment of the finger, you know, you didn't lose part of your finger. The finger was actually restored. So it would almost suggest that you're going to keep your pancreas, but we can't say for sure.
Yeah. After you'd see the doctor, call us on Friday if or Wednesday, and let us know what's going on. We'll continue.
Okay.
Okay.
Good
Thank
luck.
You guys so much. God bless you. You're, Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, 646, hi. 646, are you there?
Hi. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good.
Hello.
Bye. Hi.
Hi. My name is Esther.
Dexter?
Esther.
Esther.
Esther, I was going to say. Dexter is not a female name. Esther, okay.
No. Yes.
Esther.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, and we've spoken with
you. My birthday?
Yeah. Are you the one that's, like, in the Bronx?
Yeah, girl, you're good.
Remember you. Okay, what's your birth date?
April 21, 1963.
Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 16. What's wrong with me today? 4, 5, 6, 7, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Okay. So, Esther, what is your question in our remaining minutes? We've got 5 minutes left. Why are you laughing?
Okay, I'm going to try to make this quick as possible.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys do dream readings.
Yeah, we can do a dream interpretation.
Okay, I'm going to make this quick as possible. My sister had this weird dream, and the weird dream was with this guy that he had webs on his arms, but he was holding my arm, which is his right arm, my right arm, and somebody was telling us three times in the dream that he has hornets. So she can't see his face. We know he's taller than me, and her and I got into a big argument, but he was trying to come to my house. He was very persistent to come into my house. He never made it there, so that's when my sister and I got into a big argument. And then all of a sudden, when we stopped arguing and I went on her side, he let go of my arm and he disappeared.
Yeah, what you see when you dream sometimes, Esther, you go into the astral realm. And when you're in the astral realm, imagine your astral body's out there in the astral realm, walking around, floating around. You're bound to encounter
dark
other souls.
Entities.
You can encounter spirits, angels, aliens, but you can encounter other souls that have crossed over, but they were bad on Earth. And this
okay.
guy,
but it wasn't. This is not my dream. This is my
right.
sister's dream.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll get to that. On the earth, this guy was a pimp.
Oh shoot.
Yeah. He was a pimp. He was a pimp on the earth, and he would collect girls. And he was a mean pimp. He was a hornet.
Okay.
And
okay.
When you go out into the astral realm, sometimes you encounter these souls. So your sister had this dream, and what happens with these obvious obnoxious souls is they can touch you and absorb your thoughts and play all kinds of games on you. So the dream
okay.
is something you're worried about. You encountered a bad spirit.
Well, her sister encountered a bad spirit.
Yeah, but she was walking
yeah.
in a dream. So it could have been that your sister and you.
So wait a minute. So let me get this right. He was a pimp?
Yeah.
Yeah. On Earth.
So on past life, her sister and her probably were prostitutes.
Yeah. In a past life, there might have been some recognition that he saw you as human beings he used to know or work with or whatever. Don't worry about that in this lifetime. It's nothing about this lifetime. It's a past life.
Unless you want to start working as a prostitute,
yeah.
in which case, you know.
Oh,
well,
no.
No, I'm teasing you. I'm just
no,
joking.
No. So that's what it is, but it's nothing to worry about. These things happen. But so in other words, your sister and via you had this, she had the direct contact. You got involved in it and it involved an old past life where this guy encountered you. But in that lifetime, he was a pimp. He crossed over to the astral realm. He's probably a very low, bad spirit there. but he can do no harm. He can do you no harm. There's nothing to worry about here.
Okay.
It just happened.
So that's like, I was like, that's kind of weird. He had webs on his arm and he was holding me. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, the web is the spider. It's significant. He's a spider capturing his prey.
Prey, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. And okay. The hornet probably represents, he probably carried around a switchblade or he used a knife to threaten his girls. But don't worry about it. I mean, you know, you have past lives. So what? So maybe you were bad in one lifetime. Maybe you weren't bad. Maybe you were just a victim. But this guy can do you no harm. Wouldn't worry about it. But do you light candles?
Yes.
Because I just saw you lighting a candle. I mean, I'm fire paranoid. I don't like candles because they can cause fire. But when you light the next candle, you just put a blessing over yourself. That's all you do. And, you know, don't be unattended. But I saw you lighting candles. And do you do it just as a ritual for good energy?
Yes.
Yeah. So light yourself a candle and say to spirits, always protect me, always bless me. And believe me, they will. And the little tiny object you have on the shelf, it seems to be like an animal ornament. Like an animal, like a stuffed animal or an animal sculpture. But there seems to be something made out of inert material that's an animal. Do you have any animal sculptures in your home?
Probably, so I have to look.
Like a knickknack, I think you're talking about.
I think so. It's like an elephant.
Uh-huh. They're,
then that's all we need to know. Don't worry.
Sculpture is probably not the right word.
You don't need to worry about anything bad.
Okay.
And in your candle lighting, I mean, Neil was saying, you know, do it for good energy, but do you also light for the people that have crossed?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting about the candle lighting. So that is, that's all we have time for. We're kind of closing up the shop today, but hopefully that helped.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. You're sweetie.
Well, thanks, Esther. Keep in touch.
I will. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're out of time, but, you know, I wanted to respond to something first because we were talking about names. This is the thing, too, in the context of doing a radio reading. You know, there's someone I know that talks about, well, you know, I do gallery readings. Well, how easy is it to throw out a name in a gallery reading when you've got a room full of people and for someone to connect with it?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's much harder to do cold readings on the radio than to do a reading in a group. I mean, obviously being in a group that presents its other challenges.
It can be
effective if you're accurate, but you can also, you know, if you're not totally psychic, you could kind of fake it in a big group.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the subject of names often do come into readings and they do connect with the subject matter at hand. So I still think it's legitimate when it's legitimate. Okay, we're back on the air on Friday. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.